D-Mace, Fingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie, Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Fingen here with you on a sunny, almost fall-like Tuesday.
You know, I woke up this morning, and I slept a little bit late today, this morning, which was good. I needed it. But I woke up and I looked at my thermostat, and I'm like, man, it says 71 degrees, like 70, 71. I'm like, do I have my air conditioner on? Well, I didn't. It's just starting to get cool now, which I hate, because once it drop below 70 degrees, I'm not a good person.
See, man, I'm the opposite. Once it gets into the 60s, that's prime.
I get a little cranky.
That's prime Fingen is in the 60s.
I get a little cranky, man.
That's prime Fingen.
So you like when it gets dark early, huh?
I am one of the few people that likes that month and a half period where it gets dark at 4 o'clock.
Oh
yes.
My goodness. You're not human. You're not. Did you grow up on like a planet far, far away where it's dark all the time?
It depends on whether.
So you would love like Alaska then.
I don't know. That's too cold.
But it gets dark. It stays dark.
Yeah, but there's something in between.
Well, dusk. Let's say that.
But it's dark all. It gets dark early all the time, doesn't it, in Alaska? I don't know if I could do it for a full year.
I think it's just.
I think it's
a period
light
of time.
For a majority of the time. Yeah. Then it goes dark a little bit later. Like yeah, you don't know the
months.
Time difference.
Yeah, they have months where it's like dusk. It's not quite light outside, but it's not pitch dark either. So you would like that, wouldn't you?
All my
Alaskan, what do they call Alaskan residents? What
Alaskan,
are they called?
Alaskans.
Alaskans. So yeah, Alaskans. All of our Alaskans that are listening, can you please just text in and
maybe
you know.
Jeremy Swayman will text.
Yeah,
in.
There you go.
Alaskans,
he's an Alaskan.
Raise up. Text us. 615-737.
Hello, Alaska. How many people live in Nashville that are from Alaska?
I can see Russia from Alaska.
I heard that about 12 years ago.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I'm not going to say the politician. I mean, politics are funny anyway.
If
but
you
anyway.
Know, you know.
Exactly.
Anyway, we did have our first coaching change in the NFL this morning. The New York Jets fired Robert Saleh after a 2-3 start. I was shocked to find out that this was the first time in owner Woody Johnson's 25-year tenure that he has fired a coach in the middle of the season. I would have thought the Jets being the Jets that they would have done this once or twice, but apparently the first time under Woody Johnson's tenure as owner, 25 years, that the Jets have fired a coach mid-season. And this is the point where I mentioned that I, in our NFL preseason predictions, mm-hmm. I mean, Willie did have the Giants making the playoffs as a wild card, but I had the Jets winning.
And the G-Man did go out to Seattle. And
they did.
Without their guys, without the Singletary and without Malik Neighbors.
It was an impressive win for the Giants. My point
is
that
there's still hope.
This is where I should point out where I said the Jets would win the AFC East.
Ooh.
So,
well, I think I did pick up two. I may have picked them to win the AFC East.
We'll have to check the scrolls.
Yeah, because I didn't pick. It was between them and Miami, because I definitely wasn't going to pick Buffalo.
I think I might have him in there.
Robert Saleh was 20-36 as Jets head coach, a .357 winning percentage, ranks as the worst in Jets franchise history among coaches with a minimum of 40 games.
I thought I would never say this, but hell, when you have Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, that's what you get.
All of us have the Jets in the playoffs.
Yes.
Adam has them winning the division.
Well, they still can make the playoffs because they're not out of it. They're 2-3. They're not out of it. The AFC isn't as I'm not going to say it's not as strong. I think teams are just knocking one another off. I think that's what it is because it's so – the competition is so close, especially at the top end, that other than Kansas City – teams are sort of knocking each other off, or when they play Kansas City, they always do something crazy to give Kansas City the game. So,
I will point out that the Jets are only one game back of the Bills in the AFC East, so the door is still open for my prediction to come true.
If they beat the Bills this weekend, they play the Bills
on Monday, I believe.
If they beat the Bills Monday, then they're back in first place.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how easy it is.
The door is not shut on the Jets winning the AFC East. But the Tennessee Titans are back in action on Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts. Brian Callahan addressed reporters yesterday and again threw his support behind Will Levis as the team's starting quarterback. This is what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday when asked about Will Levis.
Does his situation kind of put you in a situation where you kind of where you were in the game, where if things aren't going well and his shoulder could conceivably be a factor and it gives you an easy way to turn to Mason?
No, I mean, I think if he's good to practice and good to go, then he's going to play. And that's really, unless it's affecting his ability to do his job, I don't think that there'll be any discussion on that point. Again, if it still hurts a ton and he's having trouble throwing effectively and all those things, then yeah, that's a whole different conversation. But again, we'll just see how the week of practice goes. But I feel pretty good about where he should be at.
So that was Brian Callahan yesterday. And the Titans' opponent this weekend, the Indianapolis Colts, it's like the same thing is happening with the Colts. Mm-hmm. Anthony Richardson was injured a couple of weeks ago. He did not play this past weekend when the Colts lost to the Jaguars. Joe Flacco came in, had an impressive stat line, 33 of 44 for 359 yards and 3 touchdowns. But yesterday, Colts coach Shane Steichen was asked, when healthy, is Anthony Richardson your starting quarterback? His quote, he is our starting quarterback, period, end quote. So similar situations playing out in Tennessee and Indianapolis ahead of this weekend's matchup at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, it is. Man, it's sort of the same situation, but not the same situation. And we're talking Indianapolis and the Titans, because obviously they play each other this weekend. I think there's a strong belief throughout the team that in Indianapolis that they're going to bring him along slowly, Richardson along slowly. And I think that was the mission when they drafted him. I think everybody was on board with drafting him, from the owner to the GM to the head coach. So they're going to bring him along very slowly. And if he's healthy, he's going to be the quarterback. Everybody was in agreement with him being the guy that they want to draft. On the other side, you can't say that because it's a new coaching staff. You don't know if the GM or the head coach of last year wanted the guy. But all of a sudden, the owner comes out after the season ended last year and said, that's our guy. When they hired their new coach, Will Levis is our guy. We're going to move forward with him. So you have the situation is the same, but how it came about is totally different. Because realistically, this is not Callahan's guy. It's not. Make no mistakes about it. This is not Callahan's guy because he didn't draft him. But I think what he did was he said, I can work with him. I've worked with Joe Burrow. I've worked with Peyton Manning. I've worked with this guy, that guy. You see what the backup quarterback, Cincinnati's backup quarterback last year.
Jake Browning,
what he was able to do. I can get him there. We just need some time. Well, he hasn't gotten there. And I know it's been, because everybody want to throw the games out there, so I know it's only been 13 going on 14 games. But he hasn't shown consistently that he can be the guy. Now, if Callahan was here when they drafted him and everybody was on board, then okay, we're going to let this thing ride out for a couple of years. But that wasn't my guy. So how long do I ride with this guy before we lose the locker room? Because I keep going back to that. That's the one thing that people are not mentioning. And I wish someone would ask him that question. Like, how long is too long? How long is it before, is it going to take for you to potentially lose the locker room for you to make a change at quarterback? Which one is it? Are you going to let them ride the season out? Because if you are, you need to tell your players right now. You need to tell those 52 other players right now that if he's healthy, we're going to ride no matter what happens, we're riding it out with Will Levis. So at least they know. Because if you don't tell them and he continues to do the same things over and over again, you are going to lose your locker room. They were on First Take today, and I was listening to Shannon Sharp and the center for the old center for the Indianapolis Colts.
Saturday.
Yes, Saturday. Jeff Saturday. I was listening to those two guys, and they were talking about Saleh. Like, listen, this is not Saleh's fault. It's not. Saleh is there to give a vision and a mission for this team. The culture and everything is built by the players within that locker room. The coach is overseeing it all to make sure we stay on point, stay on mission. But make no mistakes, the guys in that locker room set the culture. Okay, so if you hold on to this quarterback too long, the culture in that locker room is going to start to get divided. And they said it perfectly. You're going to start getting little small factions, the defense versus the offense. This guy, the players blaming it on the coaches. The coaches don't know what to do. It's going to cause a bigger problem than what you realize. You need to figure it out. If he's not producing the way he needs to be producing, do you hold on to him in spite of potentially losing a locker room? That's the question. Because once you lose that locker room, make no mistake about it, you might as well turn in your resignation papers. You might as well resign and let somebody else do the job, because you're not getting that locker room back once you lose it. They fired Brian Billick. And he had won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens because they felt he had lost the locker room. Brian Billick was a good coach, excellent communicator. But they came to a point where they, upper management, felt he lost the locker room. So you got to go. You don't want it to get to that point with Brian Callahan to lose the locker room. That is something that a coach does not want. So whatever decision you're going to make about Will Levis, make it, but you better make sure that those guys understand that we are riding with him until the wheels fall off.
You don't think Brian Callahan has had that conversation with at least the leadership group of the roster?
No.
Okay.
No, it's too early for him to have. He, in his mind, he believes it's too early because he's not even hinting of potentially, allowing Mason Rudolph to continue to be the quarterback, or if Will Levis continues to make these same mistakes that he has made. He hasn't even hit. That's not even on his mind. It should be, but it's not. Again, he knows just as well as I know, and Rand Carthon knows as well. Once you lose that locker room and guys feel you're not doing your part to make this team better, you might as well walk out the door.
You know what I wish was the case? And you've done a good job, D. Mace, of explaining this part of it. I think it would be nice if logistically you could let Levis, and maybe the Colts feel this way as well, you could let them almost compete for it on a weekly basis, make them earn it. But as you said, you kind of have to commit early in the week when you're planning for a game, unless you're not sure about an injury, because you want to give your starting quarterback the reps. You've got to continue to have the receivers working with the quarterback that they're going to be working with on Sunday. In other sports, I feel like you could just kind of let it happen naturally, even within a game. Like a point guard, if you got a point guard that you think is younger and is going to have a higher ceiling than maybe your steady veteran point guard, you could play them, start off by playing them 20 minutes each. And then as the young guy gets better, you play him 25 and the older guy 15, and let it naturally happen. But you can't really do that in the NFL. You kind of have to make the decision and stick with it. But I do think it creates a lot of what you're talking about. It creates whatever decision you make, the locker room is going to have a reaction, good or bad.
I wish, because at some parts on a Tennessee Titans roster, and we've talked about this before, there was no competition. You look at New England. All those years, those guys would talk about competing. There's always competition. Like, you didn't just sit back and think, oh, my job is cushy. No, because there was always. Why do you think they had to eventually get rid of Garoppolo? They kept Garoppolo there because that's competition. Tom Brady, even though Tom Brady never did, Tom Brady, don't get too comfortable in that position that you're in. Because there's somebody, Belichick kept Garoppolo for a reason. There's somebody behind you that we can put right in, and I feel we can run our offense the way it needs to be ran. Now, that wasn't, we saw that that wasn't true when Garoppolo went somewhere else, but creating competition keeps everybody on their toes, okay? Why do you, and I'm going to bring it back to myself. Why do I felt every day I walked in that building, they were trying to replace me because they were bringing receivers in and out, drafting receivers first, second round. They were always trying to replace me. I'm cool with that because it kept me on my toes. It made sure when I even thought that, you know, I'm feeling a little comfortable. No, because they can replace your ass in a minute. You better get out there and you better practice. You better fight through whatever you need to fight through. I don't think it was that on the offensive side of the ball. There was no competition at the quarterback position. There was no competition at the right tackle position or the right guard position. None whatsoever. Competition makes your team better. It seems like they were scared of that competition with Will Levis. No, bring somebody in here that's competent enough. And I'm not saying Mason Rudolph is a competent, but Mason Rudolph doesn't scare Will Levis in taking his job. He doesn't. And I'm just speaking facts.
Even though we had one odds maker, the Jimmy Shapiro thing,
yeah,
put that from the Vegas perspective, mm-hmm, the Titans' odds of winning would improve with Mason Rudolph starting as opposed to
Levis. Yeah, you're right.
As of a few weeks ago, and I think it would only be a wider spread now since they put that out after, I think, the first or the second week.
And he may be right. That may be the truth. But Will Levis is not in fear of his job. He is not.
Definitely not after one, this wave.
Exactly. Right? But my thing is,
if anything would have tested it, it would have been after the Monday night game.
Exactly. You didn't bring in someone that would seriously push your quarterback. Because, yeah, you can throw Mason Rudolph in there, but seriously, how many games is Mason Rudolph going to win you? He's not. If he was your starter the whole season, how many games would he win you? Maybe 7, 8, possibly.
I would set the baseline at 6.
Exactly. So what competition is that? You bring in a guy that probably at his height will win you 6 games with this run. What type of competition is that? They can't look you in your eye. That's, again, ask these questions, journalists. Y'all are great, and we have some great ones here in Nashville. We do. Ask those questions. Don't ask the other questions. Ask, okay, how long is it going to be before Will Levis, before you have to make that decision to go to another quarterback? How much time will he need? Or how much time do you believe in your mind you need to know whether Will Levis is his quarterback or not? There's no competition in that room at the quarterback position. There was no competition at the right tackle position. There was no competition at the right guard position. They can't tell us otherwise because we look at what's happening right now. The right tackle hasn't been good. The right guard hasn't been good. And the quarterback hasn't been good. And you can't go to nobody else.
It will be interesting to see as the week progresses, and we'll touch on this as well, the conversation around Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, because Anthony Richardson has been just as bad as Will Levis. Anthony Richardson has the worst passer rating in the NFL. He has thrown as many interceptions as Will Levis, 6 interceptions in 4 games. He is completing 50.6% of his passes, 39 for 77. But we have touched on this, and we'll get into it more as the week goes on. Anthony Richardson is, 3 years younger than Will Levis. He doesn't have as much starting experience, not just in the NFL, but in college as well. And Anthony Richardson makes those plays, like that bomb he had in week 1, I think it was, to Alec Pierce, that make you go, well, his numbers might not be that great, but he can do that. And Will Levis hasn't been able to do that, whatever that is, yet. But it'll be interesting to see the discourse around this game from the quarterback position, because Levis and Richardson are both struggling mightily for their respective teams this season.
The completion percentage of each of those guys, if they're both in there, will be something to watch on Sunday. Because they're both right at almost exactly the same, under 51%, between 50 and 51%, which is extremely low. But for NFL standards.
But
Richardson, of course, can run. Mm-hmm. Richardson is a much more effective runner, or at least has been a much more effective runner than Levis.
But would y'all agree that these situations they find themselves are similar, but they are different in a sense of one organization with the head coach and everybody wanted that guy.
And it's also important to point out where Anthony Richardson was drafted and where Will Levis was drafted.
There's
That's
a heavier
big part
investment.
Of it as well.
Exactly. There's a heavy investment, no question.
But it will be interesting to see what that dialogue is like throughout the season. I mean, excuse me, throughout the week leading into the game on Sunday, just because Anthony Richardson has struggled when in the game so far this season. And Joe Flacco did what Joe Flacco does. He was he had a really solid game for the Colts. It also helps that the Colts lost versus the Titans beating the Dolphins. So it's easier, you would think, theoretically, for a coach to go back to a different quarterback after his team loses, although the quarterback who played in that game played pretty well. 615-737-1025. By the way, I've noticed multiple texts, I guess, during the previous show. Mm-hmm. It was during celebrity birthdays. It was National Fluffernutter Day, which apparently Nick Frazier did not know. I guess Derek doesn't know either. A Fluffernutter is a peanut butter and marshmallow sandwich.
That sounds nasty.
I was disappointed in Nick. Now I'm disappointed in you.
You partake in eating that?
I'm not a Fluffernutter guy myself, but I at least know what it is. I know Nick has, you know.
Willie, did you know what a Fluffernutter was?
I've heard of it, but I've never eaten one, and I don't know if I could have named the actual.
Come on, guys. Come on.
I've heard of it.
Now I'm disappointed in all of you. Sorry. But here's someone disappointed in. Tim Hasselbeck, coach of the undefeated Ensworth Tigers. I believe now 7-0.
Damn right.
Tim Hasselbeck of the Ensworth Tigers.
This is the show, thanks to D-Mace and Tim and Hal Gill, who all have heavy Ensworth Tigers. It's become a Tiger pep rally over here. I'm sure there's some rival high schools going, hey, man. Like Chris Sanders over at NBA is like, talk about the Big Red.
We'll get your game up and we'll talk about you, okay?
You got to produce.
Yeah, you got to win games. That's the name of the game. 615-737-1025. We'll talk to Tim Hasselbeck next. Tune in to 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville this Thursday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will take on Louisiana Tech on the road. Pregame starts at 5:30. Kickoff is at 7. MTSU football coverage on 93.3 FM Totally Hits Nashville is presented by Sloan's Motorcycle ATV. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend, NFL analyst, and undefeated coach of the Ensworth Tigers, Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, do I have it right? It's now 7-0?
You know, I believe it is. I actually had to ask
you. Oh, Tim, stop it.
He's winning so much, he lost track.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
He's winning so much.
That's what happened with winning coaches. I mean, can we put you up there with Bill Belichick already?
No, what I'm saying is like, I was like, wait, did we play 6 games or 7 games? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just get into, like, the heat of it. You can probably hear it in my voice. Like, I've been yelling at too many officials. Like, I got, like, my voice is gone. I'm like, was it 6 games? Was it 7? Was it 8? Like, I was losing track. You know, you just get so, like, dialed into the details on it that, you know, but it is 7. That is confirmed. And, I'm going to have to take it easy so my voice makes it to next week.
We appreciate your humility on our program. So
listen, it is not me. I guess I have made exactly 0 tackles, completed, you know, made 0 blocks. You know, our kids have really done great. I mean it, like, and I think our coaching staff has done a good job, so really good job. So in the environment at our school for our games – has been really, really good. So it's I'm thankful for all of it. It's been great.
Tim, I'm sure you had an opportunity to watch Vanderbilt upset Alabama on Saturday. I would love your analysis of Diego Pavia as a quarterback. Yeah.
And were there any Hasselbecks or friends of Hasselbecks that were involved in the transportation of from the goalpost from Vanderbilt Stadium to the Cumberland River?
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot.
You can remember, start with Willie's question, if you'd like.
Tim has a daughter who is playing lacrosse at Vanderbilt, so she's a freshman. Yep. And by the way, she has no idea about the pain that those of us who have been watching Vanderbilt for the better part of 40 years.
She's officially spoiled.
Yes, but we got to give her credit for sparking this.
Well, I would just say I think the stat was, you know, since Grace has been at Vanderbilt, you know, 1-0 versus, you know, like, you know, against Alabama, the previous 60 matchups, 0-60 or something like that.
What else needs to be said?
Yeah, I don't know if she's taking credit for it. So she, you asked if any Hasselbeck members or friends of the Hasselbecks had anything to do with the transportation. I will say I have seen a few photos of people that I do know that not only, like one of them, I think, was actually riding the goalpost on the way down. Like, I was like, dude, how did you get that role? Like everyone else is carrying it. And
is that uncomfortable? It appears to be uncomfortable. I saw some people doing that.
Yeah, I saw that. So that was really cool. You know what's interesting about Diego? So, you know, Vanderbilt held their spring game at Ensworth. And he was in town, obviously not able to participate because he hadn't enrolled in the school yet. And so he was actually in town, and Clark's father was bringing him around. And I got a chance to meet him, and it was interesting when I met him at the time. And obviously he's in street clothes, and we're talking, and I'm thinking, you know, it's interesting, right? Like in this era of, like, you know, all these guys, you know, kind of T-shirt and shorts, throwing the football around and stuff. You know, he just looks like, you know, kind of a 5'11", you know, like kind of thick kid that could play linebacker, could play fullback, could play tailback. Guess he plays quarterback. And then I went to the Virginia Tech game, and, you know, it sent him a text message after the game basically saying, like, hey, it was fun watching you compete. Like, it just was seeing the way that you play football. And, you know, anybody who watched that Virginia Tech game, like, you just saw his grit and playmaking ability. It was cool. It was really cool to see. And I think that same exact thing was on display, you know, against Alabama. Like, there was no, I don't know, back down, no, you know, fear of competing against whoever it was. And so I think that was really cool to see. It obviously has had a huge impact on the program. And I said to somebody, look, I grew up in Boston. BC beats Notre Dame right after Notre Dame beat Florida State and Charlie Ward to become the number one team in the country. And that game was at South Bend. But what happened is kids tore the goalpost down at Chestnut Hill. And it changed the way people thought of Boston College football at the time, like almost as much as, you know, Doug Flutie winning the Heisman Trophy. And I think that, you know, seeing what's happened here, I think that Vanderbilt win against Alabama has the ability to do that same type of thing.
Tim, we'll, of course, get to the matchup in town this weekend between the Colts and the Titans. An interesting quarterback conversation to be had there with Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. But I do want to ask you about another quarterback, Deshaun Watson. It's been so hard to watch Deshaun Watson play quarterback this season, and the Browns are committing to him as the starting quarterback. It just feels like a failed marriage with hundreds of millions of dollars of guaranteed money tied into it. I mean, is there any way to, for lack of a better term, fix Deshaun Watson, or is this what he is now as an NFL quarterback?
I mean, I keep wondering, like, when is he going to turn back? I mean, he was Jaden Daniels, right? Like, he was the young quarterback that everyone was like, yep, he's got it. You know, remember Dabo Swinney saying, like, look, he's Michael Jordan. Then he gets to the pros, and, like, I think most people thought he was a top five quarterback. And, you know, since the time off and all the legal stuff that he's been through, he hasn't been the same. And I keep thinking, well, it's got to come back, because look at the way Kevin Stefanski coaches the position, has success with, you know, guys in that offense, and even with a guy, you know, that came in relief a year ago, right, who's no longer there. So, you said it. It's the worst – it's probably the worst contract in sports, like maybe in history of the NFL, because of the guaranteed money, because of how it blew the guaranteed money out of the water in terms of what had been done before. And –
and what he looks like as a player. I mean, he looks done as a player, and I don't know how you get out from under it.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the 7-0 Innsworth Tigers, who, by the way, have only given up 26 points in seven games. So whoever the defensive coordinator is, coach, man, oh, man, he's doing a wonderful job.
Hey, I'm going to give him some love. Dylan Sanders, he was the defensive coordinator the last 4 years at Murray State. And I was fortunate. One of the things I needed to do was say, like, hey, like, I need someone to handle the defense and do a good job. So I need to give Dylan some love because he's done a great job. And then, and obviously we've got a bunch of really good players on that side of the ball. But, hey, I appreciate you noticing that, D-Mate. Yeah. This has been good.
I didn't get a chance to go to the game, but I watched it.
What?
On the computer. I watched it because I had some other things going, but I made sure that I had my computer in front of me watching y'all beat down the Florida team.
That's right. Hey, Innsworth Live, it's our students do the broadcast.
Oh, it's hilarious. I love it when the students do the broadcast, too.
Yeah, listen, they do an excellent job. We even have halftime interviews. You know, little known fact, Jim Nance is an Innsworth parent. He's given some advice to some of our kids that do play-by-play. I was somewhat offended that they wanted to get Jim Nance's advice instead of mine. But it's understandable.
Willie's also available.
Yeah.
But he's
university dad.
Right.
He's a university dad.
I've helped a few USN people.
You can't cross those lines. You can't cross those lines.
That's.
I'm here for all.
It's for the kids, Willie.
For the kids, right, D-Mace?
Exactly. Well, you know how I feel about that, though. No. Are you okay? I'm gonna get to my Titan question in a minute. But are you surprised that Robert Saleh was fired today, considering all that has gone on for the last 2 years? And it was, you know, when we get Aaron Rodgers back, we'll be okay. And frankly, Aaron Rodgers has added to the problems that the Jets have. But are you surprised that they fired Robert Saleh? Because the Jets haven't done this ever in their history at firing a coach midseason or during a season. So are you surprised that Saleh was the guy?
Really, really surprised. And not because it seemed like he was doing some amazing job, but like, at this stage, there's a lot of football left. You know, he was a really kind of sought-after coach when he was hired to be the head coach. Maybe it boils down to a little bit in terms of trying to get more out of Aaron, trying to get more out of the defense, and then you think about the way he's maybe publicly handled some comments and the appearance of his relationship with Aaron. You know, maybe that's like that was it. But, yeah, that it stunned me. In fact, you know, when I saw it, I thought, like, it was one of those ones where you see it, like, was this from Adam Schefter or Adarn Schefter? You know what I mean? Like, you get fooled on Twitter. Like, that
you can't trust those blue check marks anymore.
Correct. Exactly right. So, and look at the, I thought that they would come in and look, everything around Aaron's better than it was a year ago. And so the fact that they haven't been more competitive, and I think Aaron looks injured. I think Aaron looks like he's playing injured. But if they don't get it right with what they've kind of invested into building around Aaron, obviously that's not good. And I also think, you know, when you look at, look, Sam Darnold having success in Minnesota, like that obviously doesn't help either.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We're talking NFL football in general. So, Tim, one thing I'm curious about as you go into the Colts-Titans game, I think the number one theme is you've got each team with the same, I guess you would call it a dilemma. You've got a veteran, steady hand as the backup, but you've got a young quarterback that you've made a commitment to and you want to see what he can do. So I think it's going to be a really intriguing game from all angles, but it comes back to that on Sunday.
Yeah, I agree. And like, look, Anthony Richardson, and I think everybody said it, like he was always going to be a developmental prospect. And then he gets hurt his rookie year. And so this year is really still his rookie year. Hasn't been a starter for a season yet. And so you're going to see him make mistakes. And now on top of it, he's injured again and he's not playing. Like at some point too, you know, you do have to be concerned about
winning enough games to keep your job if you're a coach in the National Football League. And with Joe Flacco, you know, is probably, you know, far from a perfect player at this stage of his career, but it doesn't look like, you know, the ball is coming out of his hands, you know, his hand any differently than it did when he was a young player. And so they have opportunities with stuff down the field. They do have a good receiving core. They are running the football well. And so if you were to pull their coaches and say, hey, who gives you the best chance to win against the Titans? I would think you would almost get a universal answer that Joe Flacco's the guy. But I think with just how the league works, if they feel like Richardson's healthy, like they're going to have to play him because they need to develop and find out, you know, who he is as a player. And I think that you're in a similar situation, you know, with Will Levis, maybe not as much, just because not as much is invested because of where you drafted him and all of that. And you probably have a little more evidence in terms of some of the decision-making that you maybe you're, you know, frustrated with, but I think they're very similar, and I think it would be reasonable to think that both teams think, like, hey, if you're the Titans, I got a better chance to win with Mason Rudolph, and if you're the Colts, hey, we have a better chance to win if it's Joe Flacco.
Would you be of the mindset where the Titans are? Because, as we know, if they win this game, you could say, hey, they're 2-3. It's like the Giants. You know, they look disastrous. Yeah. Now they've won a couple, and they're like, hey, we're only a game or a game and a half out. Let's see what happens. But would you be of the mindset to look to shop a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, or would it be more of a wait and see?
I think a wait and see, because exactly what you just said. You know, I do think you have to wait and see. Like that Giants performance the other day, like that's super impressive. Like the Seahawks were a 3-0 team. You know, the Seahawks were, you know, that's a tough team to beat there. So I do think, like, I look back to some of the conversations I've had with you guys over the years, you know, where, you know, it's like, you don't win this week 7 game, like, season's over, you're not going to make the playoffs. And then, you know, just however it shakes out, a couple injuries in the division, and next thing you know, you're playing December games for potentially winning your division and having a home game. So I don't know. I think it's one of those things where, especially the way the division looks now, it's still way too early. It's still so early that that I think you still have to feel like you're in it. And because all kinds of things could happen. Like, what if there's a significant injury in Houston, right? And Jacksonville has looked pretty much terrible most of the time. And you know, the Colts could find themselves in a situation where, like, they're just forcing playing Anthony Richardson, even if he's not giving them the best chance to win. And so I think when you factor all that stuff in, it's like, man, it's still way too early to write anything off in terms of what the Titans season could end up being.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, joining us as he does every Tuesday at 11:30. Tim, we'll talk to you next week. Good luck this weekend. I see you have Father Ryan on the schedule on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Big matchup. I think it was a one-loss team, so yeah. But, hey, region game. Like I told the boys, it's like big SEC matchups, like, you know, Georgia-Alabama or Vandy, Alabama. Or Michigan State-Michigan, D-Mace. There you go.
Hey, bring it on back home.
All right.
Tim, good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
Good luck, Coach.
Thanks.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us as he does every Tuesday, 615-737-1025. I saw something interesting late last week that I think a certain section of Titans fans will also find interesting. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, The Game. Thanks to Tim Hasselbeck for joining us in the previous segment. Always enjoy talking to Tim. So late last week, I saw this story on ESPN.com from Pete Thamel. It was about the quarterback draft class of 2025, the quarterbacks that should be going off the board in next year's draft. And according to Thamel, ESPN polled 20 NFL scouts and executives who evaluate college players to see where they stood on the top quarterback for the 2025 NFL draft. Now, there are some Titans fans out there that when it comes to the quarterback decision currently for the Titans, put Will Levis in, sink or swim. If they stink, they have the chance to draft his successor at the top of the draft next year. But here's what's interesting. So as I said, ESPN polled 20 NFL scouts. The variance of answers, according to Thamel, proved telling, as Colorado's Shedeur Sanders got 9 votes, Georgia's Carson Beck got 5, and Alabama's Jalen Milroe got 4. Miami's Cam Ward and Texas's Quinn Ewers got 1 vote each, with Ward rising, and this was before Miami's major comeback over the weekend against Cal. And Ewers standing likely hurt after missing the past 2 weeks with an injury. Again, this story was published late last week. But there was something at the bottom of the story that caught my attention, which maybe, you know, for the section of Titans fans who'd say, I want the Titans to stink. I want Will Levis to be in there. I want them to pick number one in the draft. I want them to draft the next quarterback. So keep in mind the variance of scouts in terms of there's no clear consensus as to who, as of now, the number one quarterback in the class is. But this is what kind of freaked me out. One scout invoked the 2022 draft, which didn't see a quarterback picked until Kenny Pickett at number 20, when referencing the muddled nature of this year's crop. While the overall talent this year projects higher than 2022, especially given the need at the position amid an overall weak draft, it will be interesting to see when a quarterback goes off the board. And as a reminder, some of the quarterbacks drafted in 2022, Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback off the board, Desmond Ridder, Malik Willis, Matt Corral, Bailey Zappe, Sam Howell, Skylar Thompson, and of course, the outlier in this, Brock Purdy, who was drafted with the final pick of
Mr.
the draft.
Mr. Relevant, as
right.
he's known.
But this is the question for Titans fans. Now, just if you get the number one pick in the draft, the number two pick in the draft, you're not required to pick a quarterback. But for those hoping that the Titans will pick up there with the intention of drafting Will Levis' successor, this might not be the year to do it.
I'm not sure. Yeah. I mean, but as we have seen in drafts previously, that, and I think we spoke of this, Willie, months ago, that the quarterback is the only position that you try to, it's just like, let's find a reason to elevate these guys. Why? Because you understand that the quarterback is the guy that can change your franchise. So you try to find everything that's going to, you know, sort of make your argument why that guy needs to be, you know, a top five pick or a number one pick. No other players. Like, we critique these quarterbacks so much, especially now. And Willie said it. He was like, yeah, right now there's no clear cut. But as we get closer to draft, watch all of this noise being made about 3 or 4 quarterbacks. Who should be drafted, you know, in the top 5? Who shouldn't be? When in actuality, probably none of these quarterbacks need to be drafted in the top 5.
I do wonder if the thinking will ever change on that. Because it I feel like a lot of teams for a long time have fallen into that trap. Gosh, we need a quarterback. This is the best guy out there. Let's take him. You know, instead of waiting like the Titans did. I mean, to their credit, they didn't take Malik Willis until the 3rd round. They didn't take Will Levis until the 2nd round because probably they didn't have as much of a rating in their book at the time as some of the, you know, when a guy like Andrew Luck or somebody else who has all of the best evaluators saying, yes, we all agree, this guy looks like the real deal. Trevor Lawrence had that, and Trevor Lawrence is even struggling. So it does, to me, that is a huge thing to keep in the back of your mind as it all unfolds.
So will the Titans, so I guess the question
would be.
Because
I don't think they have to take a quarterback. Even if they need one, you don't have to take it.
They don't have to, as we sit right now, even though there are probably a lot of Titan fans are thinking like, hell yeah, they need a quarterback. But right now, as we sit, based upon what the head coach said, you're not in the market for a quarterback this draft. You're just not. But there may be other teams that are in the market for a quarterback. So what will those other teams choose to do moving forward? Will they talk themselves into, and maybe even the Titans, will you talk yourself into drafting a quarterback that maybe – you could have gotten later in the first round. You could have traded down, acquired some picks, and got that guy later in the first round. But you're scared because you say, well, that team needs a quarterback, and what if they take him? You know, so I got to take him at the, let's just say, the ninth spot.
I wonder if the Titans could do something in that situation like they did with the Rams when the Rams traded up with the Titans to get the number one pick and they took Jared Goff, correct? Mm-hmm. And the abundance of riches that the Titans got out of making that trade. But that is the question, is Titans fans want a quarterback. I mean, you do, if you draft at the top of the draft, as I said, you do not have to take a quarterback. But to Willie's point, when you are unsure of your quarterback and you're drafting up there and there is a quarterback, you think long and hard about it. But based on these reviews that Pete Thamel found, there's no clear-cut choice. Like, Shedeur Sanders had the most votes. Mm-hmm. But are we certain that Shedeur Sanders is better than Jalen Milroe or Carson Beck? Is there someone we're not even considering right now? It's a lot could change between now and then. But as Willie also said, for Titans fans that are wanting this season to go off the rails so that the Titans could get to the top of the draft, you have to keep this in mind when you're thinking about who could replace Will Levis.
Yeah, you do. And is that guy, you know, a guy that can change your franchise? Ultimately, that's what you're looking for, a guy at that position to change your franchise in a good way.
615-737-1025. A quick programming note. Clark Lee, Vanderbilt head football coach, will join us as he does every week at 1:30. Can't wait to talk to Clark after Vanderbilt's win against Alabama. But coming up next, it's time for questions 5 and 6 of my Predators preseason questions. Two nights from now, the Predators will open their regular season against the Dallas Stars. We'll get to questions 5 and 6 coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.